production.
You're listening to Darling Shine, a podcast by myself, Elodie Pullen.
And me, Chloe Fisher.
A place where we ground womanhood's unspoken experiences from grief to fertility and everything in between.
Join us while we transform our pain into power, encompassing all emotions, ugly and beautiful. Darling Shine is your chosen family and your survival kit for the unexpected shit life throws at you.
Surprise! Now you can't get rid of us.
Yeah, we go away for a minute, but now we're back two times in 1 week.
Yay. So now each week, we're going to be in your ears every Wednesday.
Yes, very exciting. But before we get into today's episode, I know you guys are so excited to hear Fisher because every second message, it's like Fisher, 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 not Darling Shine, Darling Shine, Darling Shine, Darling Shine. We wanted to talk about what we've been doing the last 2 weeks. As you will know, we went down to Sydney. We had our Hard Fizz party on the boat. Hard Fizz, for those who don't know, is my and Paul's seltzer company. And we threw a party on a boat in Sydney Harbour with all of our mates. We were kind of celebrating the new flavour that we launched a couple of weeks ago called Pina Colada.
So yummy.
So yum.
It was the funnest party on the boat. Shimmy and Chloe, the kitchen queen, DJ'd.
Yep. And then
under
the Harbour Bridge. And then we had our other friends, Richie Penny and Adam Bennett, who are also part owners in the company with us as well. And then Paul said that he wasn't going to DJ. Well, he was going to DJ and then he wasn't going to DJ and then he was. And then I think he saw everyone having so much fun. He was just like, okay, I'm going to DJ now. It was so, so much fun. I've actually just decided that it is going to be an annual party in January. So it was invite only this year, so maybe next year we'll put it out to the public and we'll make it a bit more of a
bigger hurrah. Do is for the Chumbi Pullen Gala, the next auction item, we should be like, can bid to get two spots on the boat or some shit like that.
Absolutely.
That could be fun.
Yes. Anyway, I know you guys are all dying to hear Fisher this episode, but just a PSA before we get into it, you're not going to hear much of him because we were both so bloody excited to have him on the episode that we forgot to let him talk. So we listened back the other day and it was very cringe for us to listen because we were like, oh my God, does he even exist in the room? We forgot to let him have a say. So we just want to pre-warn you guys before you start listening and you wonder if he's even here. He is here. Just bear with us.
We got a little bit too excited. Think of it less like a podcast and more like you're just in the back of the car with Chloe Fish
wall.
And I, and you're just listening to us just yell at each other.
Yell it.
Enjoy.
Oh gosh.
Girls are going up in the world, eh?
Yeah. Look at us now.
Look at us now from
the
bedroom.
From the kitchen table to...
Started from the bottom, now we're here. We're a little backyard podcast, now we're in a big office.
All right.
How good.
So welcome back to Darling Shine. I am Elodie.
And I am Chloe. And today we have my wonderful husband, Fisher.
These headphones.
Fisher. Welcome.
You should be used to wearing headphones, babe.
Yeah.
Welcome back,
brother. I want to wear my hat, mate.
Fisher, what are you pondering on today, brother?
I'm pondering on that you guys are in the big smoke.
Here we are.
Wow.
Can we just talk
about
it?
You guys got like 8 screens in here, soundproof room, assistants.
Are you proud of us?
Yeah. It's fucking, you've hit the big leagues. You got 5th in the awards.
Yeah.
Listener's Choice.
We didn't even get the call up. Thank you, Listener's Choice Awards, whatever that is.
Australian Podcast
Now,
Awards.
Now, no need to be negative. You got 5th there, darling.
No, we celebrate.
Fuck off. We celebrate all wins here at Darling Shine. If it means we're celebrating 5th place, then that's a big win for us.
5th place feels like
win.
1st place to me.
Yeah.
Yep. How good.
Next time we'll be on the bloody big stage like Uncle Noonie at Tomorrowland.
I reckon you're already there. Look at this. A few awards.
Can we do? Talk about how you are literally the most famous DJ in the world right now. Has that sunk in?
Oh, mate, that is so weird.
That's
just
weird.
Even you saying that, yeah. I personally don't think I am the biggest DJ in the world, but we're definitely having a moment in the Fisher camp, that's for sure. It's amazing.
It's insane. I literally like just don't even can't believe we're friends. Like I can't believe you hanging out with me and Minnie.
I actually
mate, I'll take it.
I always say it as well in all my posts and everything. I'm always like so proud, so proud. I'm like, how many fucking times do I have to say that I'm proud of you in every single thing? I feel like it just gets you keep on like getting better and better and better. Like in your office at home, he's got like this whiteboard, which we need to get apparently a whiteboard.
We do.
And he puts all of his goals on them and they're just tick, 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 2022 all ticked. Every
like,
single one of them.
Where do you go from here, honestly?
I don't know. To be honest, I think Chloe asked me that the other day and I think I'm just enjoying the moment that I'm in right now. Obviously, I'll have goals soon. I normally get to December and I start writing stuff down of what I want to do for next year. But like Chloe said, I've definitely ticked off every box this year and I looked at the whiteboard because I haven't seen that whiteboard since the start of the year before I left. And some of them weren't ticked off because I haven't been home. But when I looked at that whiteboard the other night, I was like, wow. We've done everything on that and some and more and it's still going.
TikTok.
He's actually gone to like another level of the ticks though. He's been giving them a rating out of 10, I noticed the other day, and they've all got 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. Fuck,
just
it's
like
only
self-proclaimed 10 out of 10.
Well, yeah,
you got to.
I think
also too when you're dreaming of playing those shows and then you get there and they're everything. Like you play them and you're just like, wow. You think it's that good, but then you're up there on the stage and you're like, nah, this is the shit.
It must be the weirdest thing. Like I know I've actually been up there on stage with you, but it's just fucking for you to be that pinnacle and like you're just looking at those billions of people, like it's the craziest thing. It literally gives me goosebumps just thinking about it and looking back at footage. Like I'm just like, was that real? Like it's so freaking surreal. Like it's just nuts. And my favourite part is that you two didn't have 5 cents to your name when you two met. And now you're both dripping in Gucci and you've made this brand and the Fisher together, like the two of you. Like you couldn't have done it without Chloe. Chloe wouldn't be doing shit without you. Like you two are just the fucking most perfect people. Like it literally makes me, it makes me emotional thinking about the ride. And like I've now come on this ride the last year and it's just been the most fucking beautiful thing to watch. I'm like, I'm going to fucking cry.
Not you guys yet. Like, don't cry today. It's actually this? Either whether it's me
usually
or you.
This shit doesn't make me cry.
God, I'm out of here.
So late last year you had your Australian tour. Do you want to talk us through that? Because obviously you said in on your social media that the Sydney show was the best show you've ever played in your life. What was happening in the lead up to that tour? How long in the making?
First off, wow. That last two weekends have been the best weekends of my life. That Sydney show at the Domain was something that I'll never get over. And it was just like it was one of those moments where I got off stage and like me and my manager normally always talk about the show, like how good it was or what could have been better. And he just like stared at me from a distance and I stared at him and we just shook our heads like, yep.
Oh my God.
That was the shit. And basically it was 3 years in the making and like a lot of people don't know this, but my team and the people that were behind the scenes of that whole, of the whole tour, you know, a lot went into that because obviously COVID came into it. Then, you know, a lot of people wanted their money back for tickets because it wasn't happening. Mm. And then venues were pulling out and we just never thought it was ever going to happen, but they kept fighting for me. And I got to thank them guys, you know, everyone on my team and the people that put it on because without them, it wouldn't happen. And the last four shows in Australia, to be honest, when I got back to Australia, because I haven't played here in so long, it's been like 3 years. So since my rise, I've only played in Australia once and it was on that.
Fully.
Oh, yeah, it was on a listen out tour. And basically I thought, maybe they've forgotten about me a little bit here. I know they do follow me on Instagram and shit, but how is it? And then I went for a walk into the Melbourne crowd in the afternoon and it was like one high five, Fisher. Fisher,
oh my
and then
God.
It just started roaring. And as I kept walking through, I just felt like a fucking lion, like, yeah, I'm back, rah, let's go. And then I just got to like the VIP section and then there was everyone there and I just was like, fucking let's have it.
Let's go. So we from didn't that forget
moment,
about you.
Yeah, from that moment, it was on.
The Melbourne one was just so, honestly, so in the lead up, and it's pretty funny, so Paul didn't know about this, but he was coming home basically just before the Melbourne tour started. And so the whole time, every conversation that I'd have with him, it would be like, is Minnie, like, when am I going to see Minnie? Like, is Minnie coming to the festivals? Like, I don't, like, all I think about is Minnie, and, like, I just want to get home to see Minnie and Minnie, Minnie, Minnie.
For and those of you that don't know, which you probably do, Minnie's actually my child.
Yeah.
Fish has literally adopted her as his own, and it's just, and so is Chloe. Well, these two are her godparents.
Yeah.
And, like, they're basically her parents.
Yeah, and so I was like, Elodie, you guys have to come down to Melbourne. We're going to have to surprise Paul because he's not going to have seen. Anyway, turns out he comes home a few days fucking early and he does see her basically as soon as he lands from wherever he was in the States.
He didn't actually detach from her at all.
He didn't detach. So the 3 days in the lead up to going down to Melbourne, he saw her every single day. So it wasn't really that much of a big surprise by the time it happened. And that morning I actually had to fly down a day early because I had a photo shoot down in Melbourne. And the morning he was flying out, it was the same day as Elodie was flying out. Elodie's on the phone to me going, fuck, this guy will not leave my sight. Like, I was meant to pack my suitcase last night before Melbourne, but he fucking won't leave. I've just got him out of my house and now he's gone. And then I speak to Elodie in the morning and she goes, you wouldn't bloody believe it. This prick has messaged me saying that there's no Ubers and I have to come and drive him to the airport and this is my window to fucking pack my suitcases. And I'm calling Paul going, leave her alone. Like, little does he know, she's flying out an hour later.
Literally.
Misses her flight.
Yeah, I actually missed my flight.
Or because he needed more time for Minnie. That.
Yeah, but on the phone he's like, oi, I don't know what's going on with the Ubers like around here. Like, there's,
but Elodie believed
you've
him.
You've got to help
also.
Me, El. Like, I've got no one else. Like, you've got to get down here. And I'm thinking, fuck. And I knew you with Sarah, who is another legend, who I was like, oh, they'd both be just freaking out. They can't miss that. Like, I can't have him missing his show. So I'm zipping down there with Minnie, fucking picking him up like we've just gotten out of bed. And then he gets in and he's like, oh, thank fuck. I just wanted to see Minnie. And I was like, oh. Did you even try and look for an Uber? And he's like, fuck no, I just wanted to see Minnie. I just said that to you. I was like,
it's
rattled.
It's also really funny because as well, like, we have this crazy, crazy spreadsheet that we're working off, myself and like the event organizers and everyone, the logistics. And it was huge. And if you guys listen to this podcast, you know I love a spreadsheet. So I was just in my element. But in the lead up, Elodie's and Minnie's name were all over that. And everyone's like, fuck, should we change her name to an X or something like that? I'm like, believe me, this is where Paul and Elodie are very much alive. They will not be looking at this spreadsheet. Paul will not be looking at this fucking spreadsheet.
Me and Fish are dead set brother and sister. We are so similar.
Yeah. So, and then we get to Melbourne.
And then we surprised Uncle Noonie Fisher in Melbourne on your birthday at dinner.
Yes, we did. Hey, was I meant to get in there? You girls just don't shut up. You've got a guest on the show and I'm just sitting here going.
Literally, hey.
No, I was just telling my story.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Fucking hell.
You had to tell the story.
No, that's why it's called Darling Shine.
Darling.
Elodie and Chloe. Darling Shine.
There's no darling.
Anyway,
there's no darling
yes,
Fisher here.
But the let's just go back for a sec. Yes, the reason I wanted to hang with Minnie so much and I wanted you to pick me up in the morning was because we had her in Europe for 3 months and I just thought, I hope this baby hasn't forgotten about me because we had such a good time over there together, running amok, having fun. And then I just wanted to hang out with her because I just didn't want her to do what she did to me when she got to Europe and she looked at me and didn't want to hang with me. And I was like, nah, I'm not having this again. So, yes, I had to hang out with Noonie. And then, yeah, obviously you guys surprised me down there, which was awesome.
Oi, this guy is, you're absolutely kidding because you literally leave her side for a minute and then you call me and you're like, do you reckon she's going to forget about me tomorrow? And I'm like, whoa, she's won now. You see her every day. I don't reckon she's going to forget. And then every time you see her, you're like, oh, she loves me. Does she love me? Does she love me? And I'm like, yes, you're literally her biggest fan. She's obsessed with you. I think she loves you better than she loves me and Chloe.
I do love her. She's amazing. Every day. It's been good to hang out with her. She's awesome. Awesome.
And Fisher will literally leave and have to FaceTime her straight away and be like, I just had to see her again.
Oh, speaking of FaceTime, I want to discuss this phone like screening debacle that we have that we like when Elodie actually left Europe, Paul and I would need mini updates. So we'd call and Paul would call and she wouldn't answer. And I'm like, okay.
Very demanding I'm gonna, parents.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like extreme, but we would try and call her and she wouldn't answer the phone for Paul and then she'd answer the phone for me and vice versa, and we'd just get in these big arguments. We'd get jealous when she'd answer each other's phone calls. So, like, she'd call you and I'm like, why the fuck is she calling you and not me? Like, I'm her best friend and I'm her business partner, but she's calling you. And then you'd be like, every time Elodie would call you, you'd be like, look, Elodie's calling me. And I'm like, I just called her 15 minutes ago and she didn't answer my call and now she's answering your calls, and it would just do my fucking head in.
By the way, I am horrendous on my phone with my friends. They try call me like 100 times a day and I just screen it.
I screen
and
everyone.
I try call her the most out of anyone and she screens me and it shits me up the wall.
Because
I do it to other people and then she's doing it to me and I'm like, I don't even want to talk to you. Just show me the baby.
You're not
5 used
to
minutes
screened, are
of
you?
The baby and then you
but
can
how
go.
How do you make that think that makes Elodie feel like you don't even want to talk to
her?
Oh,
mate. Literally. I love Elodie. It's good.
No, the reason why I like to answer Fisher's calls over yours is because he doesn't demand anything from me apart from Minnie, so I can just literally sit the phone there.
I know,
and
you're
walk
just
away,
like spreadsheet.
And Minnie and him can chat, and then you're just like, I'm like, it always starts with, so have you? And then I'm like, hang up, fuck, no. And then I quickly do whatever the fuck I was meant to do.
I pick my manager's phone calls up like, what do you want?
Yeah, literally, what do you want? They always want a piece of you.
And then I'm trying to get better at that.
And then you call back and you're like, oh, it was cutting out before. I'm like, yeah, anyway, so I did this and I did that ages ago. So, yeah, what do you want?
Well,
business chats with Chloe. Oh, I prefer to speak to Noonie and Minnie. I'm kidding. I fucking love you.
Someone's got
to
do it. Soz.
Someone's got to do it while me and you muck around.
Amen.
But nah, Europe, Minnie, the love affair with Noonie and Fisher, Minnie is. Noonie is Minnie's nickname that Chloe and Fish have
for Chloe.
Named. Yeah, so Fisher used to call Chloe Noonie. You're the OG Noonie, and then you kind of started calling Minnie Noonie, and it's literally caught on. Like, even at your shows, people are holding up signs of Minnie's head with Noonie, like, we love Noonie and shit, and it's just like, whoa, because when you Google Noonie,
it was
actually
funny. I actually had a girl come up to me in Perth before my show, and I was in the VIP, and she's like, you know why you're so famous in Australia right now, don't you? And I was like, nah, can you explain? She's like, it's because of Noonie, the baby. Without her, your popularity is nothing. And she just walked off.
Did you tell her to fuck
off? And I was like, wow, all right, no
worries.
Did
it make you think about it?
Nah.
Oh.
I just thought, what a legend.
Thank God for
you. No, I actually cracked up. I thought that was pretty funny.
What a cocky person saying that to you.
She'd had a few Red Bull vodkas. She was on fire.
A few too many fizzes, not Red Bull vodkas.
Righto.
But anyway, actually, I want to go back to Melbourne. So we had Minnie there. Minnie surprised Paul at his birthday. Then Minnie actually comes. It was actually a really funny moment because the first thing we did when we walked in was like we walked straight into Paul's dad giving him his birthday present. Yeah. Or you giving your dad the present.
Yeah, and I gave my dad a present on my birthday.
Was it his birthday as well? What was going
on
there?
No.
I just had him a present that I got him from overseas anyway.
Oh, bless.
And they were trying to hide Minnie.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Minnie was the cute. Everyone
actually,
just
that was the best birthday present I got.
Doesn't need the Gucci, just wants the Noonie.
I've never been so excited when Elodie and Noonie came from the curtain bit there. I actually was like jumping up.
It was a bit of a reveal, wasn't it?
And I don't think I let her go the whole night.
No one got to hold her
the whole night. Yeah,
and she fell asleep on you for hours.
Yeah, it was so nice.
And then we went to the
so cute.
But another thing about that too is like, sorry, but after my show, even in Melbourne, I mean, that was my first show of the whole tour, and I just played in front of like, I don't know, 19,000 people, and there she was, and it was just me and her had a moment. It was like everyone was congratulating me, but she didn't give a fuck who I was. She was just like, I just want to go to bed, hold me, and let's cruise. And I just was like, wow, this is so good. She's just the best thing ever.
That melts my heart. You've said that a few times, how like your favourite thing about Minnie is that she doesn't know who you are. She doesn't give a fuck. She just literally loves you and she can't help it.
Yeah,
and
the love
is
pure.
It's pure, yeah. She doesn't know fucking left from right.
She just wants to fucking stare at things and go, goo-goo, no. And you're just like, yeah. And I feel like I can go down to that level too. Like I start talking like that and shit.
She's letting you laugh.
They have the same IQ for sure. Actually, I have that same IQ. Probably, I mean, he's actually smarter than me for sure.
It was actually crazy seeing her head. Like they were actually like not actually your head cutouts, but Minnie's head cutouts at the festivals.
Mate,
and like when she was walking through the crowd, people were like, even at the other festivals, not just Melbourne, every second person would stop me and be like, where's Minnie? Where's Ellie? Elodie? Where's Noonie? Like, when's Darlene Shine back up? I'm like, whoa, this
like,
is crazy.
Like, we're at a Fisher show. Where's Fisher?
It was, yeah, it's crazy. And then the Sydney show we had the following day and you sold like 29,000 tickets, which is the like.
No, it was Brisbane and then we went to.
Oh, sorry. We went to Brisbane. Sorry. The next day we flew to Brisbane. It was Paul's birthday weekend. So we had 70 of his mates come and stay at
so fun.
The hotel up there. We all went to the show. We had a big birthday lunch the next day. Honestly, I have never been so fucking tired. Like 16 weeks in Ibiza didn't scratch the surface compared to what one weekend in Australia did to me. Honestly, I was ruined.
I'm still
ruined.
Fucking recovering from that shit. I don't know how you did it. Like you did way extra.
I just couldn't speak or look at any Paul and I just wanted to be together the whole time. Hey, that week in between.
Yeah.
Decompress.
Have you recovered?
Mate, that was the best 2 weeks. No, I haven't recovered, but I'm still on a high from that whole thing. But having my mates in Brisbane was fucking hilarious, to be honest. It was so good. It was just like basically even after the shows, we were just going to bars, drinking piss, talking shit. It was so good.
They hadn't
seen them in so long. So like for me, it was just amazing to hang out, catch up with everyone. And they've never really even seen me perform. So, you know, like they just thought.
They were losing it.
Well, they just thought I was just a pub DJ. Every now and again I'd get a couple crew come down and fucking flick the wrist, but then they were like, hang on, you had fucking flames and confetti and all this shit, fireworks, what's going on there? I was just like, wow, this is amazing.
And there was no carnage, none of them pulled the cords
out
and shit.
They're actually, I think, ages catching up. They're all on their best behaviour.
Honestly, I was so stressed about this weekend because imagine 70 of him. I was like, how am I going to pull this off?
They're
and
all
honestly,
loose as fuck that crew.
They were all on their best behaviour. There wasn't one person that was like out of line. It was pretty good.
It was amazing.
Everyone was so worried the whole time. How hard are we going to go? Because we've got the lunch tomorrow. We don't want to fuck it. Like everyone was hell worried about like how they're going to pull up the next day and shit.
Everyone nailed it.
It was the funnest.
That was amazing.
Sorry. And then we went in to Sydney and Sydney was 29,000 tickets sold, which is like the most tickets ever to be sold for a headline DJ artist at the Domain in Sydney, which is selling more tickets than any festivals in Australia at the moment. Like, how does that make you feel?
On top of the world. I mean, yeah, look, I don't really have many words for that. It still is sinking in, to be honest. Last night, my mate Nika, who filmed the whole thing, we're basically putting like the whole 2 hours on YouTube, and we sat down and we watched the aerial drone of the crowd, and like I was just like, hang on a minute.
Sardines in a can.
It looks like there's 100,000 people here, and I was just like, wow. But it makes me feel special. Like it makes me feel that like, all right, we're doing something right. And
all the hard work is paying off.
And it's on. Everyone's, you know, coming there to support, hang out. I don't know. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. I can't really describe it. I mean, when I walked onto that stage in front of the 29,000, because I didn't want to look at them before I went on. Normally at the last few, I was kind of like going and having a squiz and seeing what was going on. But with this one, I was just kind of wanted to just go on and see what it was about. And I just felt like a fucking rock star.
Whoa.
And the stage was so close to the front of the crowd. And I was just like, this is shit.
The visuals and the lights. I actually haven't even seen, like, although we actually did bring most of our team from Europe over to do all the visuals and all the production and stuff like that. And I haven't even seen anything like it. Like it was the fire and the fucking fireworks. Nah, it was just insane.
Yeah, last night, like I said, I haven't – obviously when I'm on stage, I don't get to see what the visuals are like either. And last night when I was sitting there watching it because there was a front of house camera, I was like blown away by what the production team had done. Like, mate, it makes your show from like here to like next level.
Yeah,
the fire and stuff.
No, like, yeah, definitely all that. But I'm talking like the LED, what they're doing with the 3D camera on my face, and the way they're just, you know, manipulating everything. It's insane.
It's
I was
a
just
full
like,
spectacle.
Wow. Yeah, it's incredible what they're doing. And those guys, like Chloe said, they've followed me from Ibiza, so they're with me every week. And I've seen the visuals that I have over there, but we'd up the ante for this one. And last night I was going to bed at 8:30 last night and my mate's like, I've got the fucking USB. Do you want to watch it? I'm like, get over to my house. Literally, I could have gone out to surfers last night all night after
I didn't even know that you were doing that.
Just losing
yes, it's like a struggle. It wakes you up.
Amazing. Oh.
Hey, you don't.
And it's not even like, yes, that's me doing that, but it was just watching the crowd, the reactions to what they're doing. And then, like, again, the flames, the CO2, the visuals, like everything was just insane. And so, like, just to see that package all come together, like, and especially Nika, who's been working so hard on that edit, he was just like, fuck. And I was just like, wow.
Because everyone I went in the thick of it in Sydney. I've never actually done that in years, like since big day out days. But Laura and I were like, who's our other bestie? I looked at her and we're like, let's fucking do this. Like, let's get to the front. And there was probably like 20.
You got in there.
There was like 20 of us trying. And by the end, we were the only ones that made it to the very front. And I got up the front. I'm like, fuck, is that my sister on some random shoulder? So my sister was front and center by herself on someone's shoulders.
Mate, I didn't know she was in there for that long. So last night I'm watching that. She was dead set in there for an hour.
Yeah, like, by herself the whole
actually,
time.
The footage of you on the shoulders of Laura and your sister is incredible.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, I was like, wow.
Let me see that
shit. It's amazing. Like, me and Nikki were like, oh, that's so epic. Because I point you out and then it goes into
that's
you guys.
That's so sick.
And then, like, I seen Sophia as well. And I obviously, you know, but like,
it was
I didn't realize
she
was there for so long.
Because everyone was texting me saying, like, get up on the stage, get up. And I'm like, no, like, I see it from the stage every time. And I I appreciate so much because I know what's gone into it. So actually watching from the front and watching the visuals and watching the lights and all that sort of shit for me was like a bit of a pinch me moment because I was like, wow, like you've just done it and it's just, it's all paid off. So just so fucking proud.
Well,
it's so sick. So
to be honest, like, I don't know, for me growing up personally going to those things, I never wanted to be backstage. I never wanted to be VIP. I was always one of those mongrels that just wanted to be in with them just going mad. So like they're the people that I appreciate the most because, you know, they've been standing there from fucking sun up to sundown and they're ready to roar and the energy they give you is just like next to none. So like, I'm always just right there with them in the mosh just going, fuck, I wish I was in there just for one song.
So he
just
sees you, all of you.
Oh, 100%. I watch every video you guys put on Instagram, every story. I watch everything after my shows. You know that.
He
sit there for hours and I will watch all of them just to get a feel of what you had and what you felt up there. It's amazing.
Like we went after the Sydney show to the after party briefly and I think I got home at like 1:30 and then Paul gets home maybe about 2:30 after me and he then sat in the lounge room for like 3 hours and I could hear him watch every single tagged story that he got tagged in and he didn't get to bed until like 4 or 5 in the morning because
like
he
4 million tagged stories.
And he watches them all.
Yeah, I remember looking at the time on my phone and I was like, fuck, I get picked up in an hour to go to the airport and I'm still looking at guys' stories just going, yes, yes, let's go. And then I got picked up downstairs and they're like, have you slept? I'm like, nah, I'm just running on adrenaline right now. But to be honest, when you get off that kind of stage and that particular show, you can't really sleep. Your adrenaline's through the roof. So like, you know, if I try to sleep, it's just not happening. So for me, it's kind of like a wind down, I'd say. I don't know. I may as well, I'm up, so I may as well check that shit out.
Yeah, your heart must be racing.
And to be honest, like some of those clips those crew get
are the best.
It's because it's raw, they're in there, they're going mad. I'm just like,
so good.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe like you just literally making that many people so happy at one time, like thousands and thousands and thousands of people just fucking so stoked. Like as a Grom, did you ever think you would be that person on stage doing that?
Nah, but I had a surreal moment because that was the first place at the Domain where I had watched a festival from start to finish with my mates. And again, like I said, we were in the mosh from the start to the end. And I remember the clearest day looking at this one DJ and just going, how fucking cool would it be to just fucking have the power in your hand and you're just feeding this crowd? And I remember like, I remember it clear as day and I thought that would be amazing. And then on the way back from Sydney, we drove back to the Gold Coast and I was just in the car with my mate and I was like, oh, I want to do that shit.
Fuck yes. Yeah. How old were you then?
I think I was about 17, even 18.
My
God. Yeah, young. And it was our first field day. And then, it kind of sparked a thing in my brain. I just remember that. That was one of the clearest things I still have in my brain from like when anyone ever asked me how it all began or what made you want to do that. It was one of those, that was one of the moments, and then there's a couple others, but that moment is clear as day. And then just to like, the best thing that I did with Chloe as well was we went the day before the show and we went and checked the venue site out, and just like the people that were like putting that show on for me and showing me around, and like you don't realize the scale of how big that joint is and how beautiful it is.
All the work that these people
put. Oh, and then like just standing on the stage when it's empty and you think,
weird.
Hey, hang on. I got to fill this shit or it's going to look horrendous here. And then when you just see the people the next day coming in, you're like, oh, my God.
Fuck, that's so you manifested it, brother.
Yeah.
You
did. I kind of, me and Chloe have spoken about that before. I've definitely manifested stuff. Actually, I've manifested this whole thing, I reckon. It's like I've written this stuff down in books that I've had over the years that I've always just jotted stuff down, and this is definitely one of them, and I'm kind of like living it out, living my dream out. It's wild.
Oh my God.
It's bizarre. But she asked me that one day, but it's like the whiteboards with all my,
he's a visual person.
I'm a visual person. Mm. So like, you know, I write everything down and I kind of go along and tick it off. And I have written a lot of this shit down. And I'm sure if I went back into the storage shed where my mum has, I would have that written down in a book somewhere for sure.
You have to do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't know, Fish also used to be a surfer. So you were doing surfing and DJing on the side a bit, like together. Do you ever think like if you didn't go down the DJ path, like what could have been surfing? Like this is fucking way better, obviously, what you're doing. But it'd be it's weird to think, right?
Yeah, well, there was a point when I realised I wasn't that fucking good at surfing. And I was like, all right, I need to figure this shit out real quick because the money's going to run dry. Me and her are eating fucking bread and butter all day. Like, I was like, I need to be on here. And like, it was just perfect how it worked out. Like, I was DJing a lot of surf parties. I had just bought like all my equipment to make music and do all this shit. And it was kind of like I got fired from the company that I was surfing for.
I remember that day.
And I was like so bummed. And I remember going back to Chloe and I'm like, we're fucked. Like I've got no money. We're in the middle of America here. What am I going to do? And basically she's like, figure it out. And like,
figure it out because I'm not.
Words of wisdom over here.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? You'll figure it out. And it kind of like I started just playing these parties and I realized the whole time that that's what I wanted to do. That I didn't realize at the time when I was surfing, but when I was playing those surf parties, that's when I was the most happiest. Like I was just with all the boys playing tunes, having fun. Man, I love just fucking running amok, having a laugh. And I to be honest, I do like
fucking partying.
Yeah. It's like that's my life.
Good time.
So yeah, it worked out perfect. But yeah, that surfing bit was definitely coming to an end pretty quick. Actually, I fucking lasted pretty long.
Yeah, you had a good run.
How old are you now, mate?
Some of my results had come up. She's like, fuck, you got 144th in that contest. That's pretty sick.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, you don't understand how hard it was back then. I was starting to like the round of 2000.
My brother was a surfer at the time as well. And I go, yeah, mum, my boyfriend's a professional surfer. And I'm just like, fuck.
And she's like,
always had faith. I knew that you'd always land on your feet somehow.
Well, if we didn't, I'd be probably fucking.
Wouldn't be here.
No.
How's your wrist, though? Is that thing broken?
Everyone says that. This is my strongest thing on my body.
Honestly, it hurts to watch those videos, my wrist. Mini.
I'm going to have to insure this thing, I think.
Seriously.
You are. That's how you can hold up all that bling, brother. Yeah. Strong.
I'm getting there. Bling, bling. Bling, bling.
Bling, bling. No, it does. It hurts like what you just said.
But honestly,
my
like,
wrist
you know, when people have that syndrome, how you can feel other people's, like someone was saying,
yeah,
I can't
when you
remember.
Watch something, you're
and
feeling
and you feel
pain
it. Like, obviously, I broke my arm. It was pretty much like literally a year ago to this day, basically. And watching the videos of you flicking your wrist, my wrist throbs. Like, it hurts.
I reckon if I broke my wrist like you did, we'd be fucked.
Yeah, we would be fucked.
Like, my left one's all right, but the right's where it's
have you got a story right, so of where? That. Have you got a story of where the flick of the wrist originated? Like, the OG original moment?
Yeah, definitely. It was when. I'll do this quick, but I actually spoke about it last time on the last pod I did.
Really?
With you guys. Yeah.
Goldfish brains over here.
Yeah, it came from Coachella, the first time I ever dropped Losing It. And I remember my mate was behind me And I said, pull your fucking camera out. This is the moment. And I just kind of looked back at him and I just started flicking the wrist towards him.
What?
And then I seen on camera and I was like, that looks fucking mint.
Yeah, but it's not like just like your fucking everyday no. flick. Like there's nah, no elbow. Just, it's literally just a, an aggressive yeah. flick, like a flick, flick, flick.
I'm sure
flick.
I would have practiced that thing in the mirror beforehand or something.
You meditated on that shit too.
She knows what the I'm like. I walk past is. The mirror all the time.
He just, yeah, he just does. He definitely looks at himself and perfects it in
yeah,
the mirror.
Yeah, he definitely looks at those.
Hey, no, that's what actors do.
Yeah, there you go.
You oh. do. You're a character.
Mm, yep, you got to see if it
he
looks
also
good.
Shines his shoes like 17 fucking times a day too.
Yeah, he's got serious OCD. This is actually, we'll be watching the videos from the events and the thing that's been bothering him so much, like literally oh. the last week, he cannot get through this, but he's like, the socks that I wore in that show has ruined my whole vibe. And I'm like, who the fuck is no looking one. At your socks? Like, he's like, I cannot believe I wore what I wore. Like, the outfits are fucked. The socks, look at the socks. And I'm like,
I bet the pants were covering
babe,
the socks.
You cannot see the socks. They are tie-dye blue, but like, who the fuck is looking at your socks? Sorry.
Yeah. But I bet your pants are covering your socks. So.
No, they weren't. And there's like the photo that I wanted to use. It was so fucking cool. And I was like,
it's a pair of tie-dye socks. Who cares? Socks use like the photo.
Shit, I don't know. It's called OCD, I guess. I don't know what it is. I just like everything to look schmick.
He's
it's like me with
serious.
These fucking headphones on right now. I want to take them and put my hat on. It's like everything is like, mate, it's like I want everything to be perfect with that shit. And even with my Sydney show, I was like, I thought that was my best outfit by a mile. And then, like, I looked at the photos. I was like, I listened to Chloe. I wore the yellow hat. I should have worn a black.
My fault, obviously.
Like, yeah, shit like that. It's funny. I don't know why it bothers me, but whatever. I just fucking, I've always been like that. And
it's yeah. amazing the OCD, though. Like, because
from now on, I tell you one thing. I told her, whatever Christmas presents I get off the family, it's black and white socks, and that's it. There's no colors.
No
I don't
fucking
want
tie dye.
Nothing. It's black and white socks, okay?
How
it goes with everything.
Why does everyone get socks for Christmas off their parents? That's a thing, easy. Eh?
Well, that's actually
stocking filler.
I feel like now I don't really want anything, but the one thing I do want is socks and undies.
Yeah.
And like, it's true though. Used to get him like, oh.
He actually told me the other day that he still, like, his favorite pair of undies that he still wears, oh. he got when he was in school.
No.
I swear to God,
no,
from best
so
and less.
Look,
do they need to go in the bin? That's fucking
mate,
weird.
They're hardcore heavy duty undies.
And
they're the
no
best ones I've ever worn.
Stuff.
Nothing. Mate, I wear these Calvin Kleins. They last 2 months. These things have been.
School.
On.
That's when did you finish school?
2003. Yeah, I got him in grade 8.
That's amazing.
Mate, they're like
they
JB something, mate.
So they're 20-year-old. They're 20-year-old
undies.
That's
best things ever.
Gnarly.
And
do
you
they
know what's
stink?
So funny? Never lost them. They always just pop up.
Oh, I have a pair of sunnies like that yeah. I can't fucking get rid of. I ruin and break all the good ones I have, and then there's this one trusty pair that I can just fully fuck up and they just stay with
that
me.
That is concerning, though, the more that I think of it. 20
so
years
concerning?
Old.
I'm the cleanest dude you'll ever
it
meet.
Is.
What are you
yeah,
fucking
Yeah, I guess,
tripping?
But that's
he probably
weird.
Wears them for 5 minutes at a time and yeah. it's like, oh,
well, then
the
undies are fresh, mate. I could resell them.
For double.
Maybe
all
I should
right,
go
that's what we're
going to
do.
Them.
We're going to have an auction. Fisher's undies. Who wants
raise
them?
Raise some money, I'm sure.
Raise some money for charity. That's rain.
No, I'm not giving those undies up. Oh, yeah, maybe my lucky undies.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
It is nuts. So, like, after spending, like, 2 months in Ibiza living with these two, like, the house would have just been cleaned by the cleaners and Fish will go around looking for, like, one speck
yeah, he'd be
of
like,
dust.
Oh, they didn't really do a good job over there in that skirting
yeah,
board.
Yeah, and
I'm
just, like, be so rattled about it. Like, nah, it's all over. There's fucking dust on the floor. Call the cleaners in. Call the cleaners in.
Seriously.
Mate.
It's, like, mind-blowing, eh?
I know. It hurts me. It hurts my soul.
Same.
It hurts like, my soul. I don't want to be like that. Honestly, it's, like, it kills me. I waste half my day, like, walking around. I'm fuck, why do I care so much about that shit in the corner, but I do.
No, it bothers me
like,
so much.
I basically get up and, like, clean the house first and then I go into the studio.
Honestly.
And if the house isn't clean before I go in, I'm like, I can't do anything.
Mm, yeah.
I actually saw that there's, like, down the street from where we live, I parked before I went and got a coffee the other day. It said OCD Clinic of Palm Beach. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get him a voucher for Christmas.
Oh, my God.
That's a pretty good fucking present for someone who's got everything,
surely
right?
Surely that stands for some sort of law firm or something.
No. It was like... It's like therapy for people who have got OCD. Like it actually says like, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Maybe. Guys, there's OCD therapists out there. We need that for you.
Because I actually heard that Kourtney Kardashian did it on the Kardashians and someone said, oh, no, it was Khloe. And basically there was that episode the other day we watched
they
it. So basically they
I'm
went
not
in.
That gnarly, though.
No. But, like, they went into her closet and they make her, like, mess up all her shit and just sit in it. Sit in the room and just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but I feel like that's shit.
Last night, the other day when we got a new plant and there was like soil on the floor and the diet.
Actually, I kind of wish we filmed this from Bunnings because it was so gnarly. This chick's like, let's go get a little plant. I'm like, little. Here we go. Got white leather in the car. I'm thinking this is going to end badly for both of us here. Like there's a the fight in car. 20 minutes.
Like I'm allowed to buy plants as long as he's not with me.
Yeah.
That's
I
the
just
rule.
Said whatever you want to do in the house, just do it when I'm not there. Mm. I feel like, and you know what happened?
She worked so
the
hard on that house.
Soil went through the whole car and she couldn't, she's doing that right now laughing and I was just fuming.
No, but then I said.
Because I've got to go clean that shit up real quick, otherwise my day's over.
The best is the way you explained it. He tells me that all the soil went through
happened.
The car.
So we had to like do some manoeuvring in the Bunnings car park because it was a big plant. And I'm like, fuck, we'll put it behind the seat. Wouldn't fit behind the seat. Then he's like, fuck, you've made me put it in the car and I can't get it out. I'm like, look, bring it out. We're going to just lie it down in the boot. I'm going to lay the seats down. It's going to be okay. I'm going to wrap a towel around the root so the soil doesn't go anywhere. We get home and he's stressing the whole way home. I have to go the long way so I don't go around any corners and shit. This is a true story.
We get out.
He pulls the fucking plant out of the car and drags.
You jinxed it.
You said,
good job, Pat. And it just went, pah. And I just went, you fucking shouldn't have said anything.
Because I have to encourage you. This is how OCD works. You have to really encourage the patient.
So that you'll go back to Bunnings
one
day.
So, like, I'm like, the patient. Like, I'm like, just no, be careful of the towel.
I just go.
No, let me finish. Okay, I'm going, just be careful of the towel when you pull it out because if you lose the towel, you're going to get. And pulled it, just went, and the soil just went. Mind you, it's like a tight, like a cup full of soil in the boot. We've actually got like a mat in the boots that catches the.
Fisher
like,
reckons
the shit.
It was like a kilo of soil, and Paul, Chloe talks about like a teaspoon.
Chloe, if it was a cup of soil, it wouldn't have gone everywhere. It went everywhere.
No, it didn't. Oh, I wish I took a photo. Anyway.
Anyway.
So I said, I'm going to clean it up. It's fine. Like, before I even fucking locked the cut, like, put the garage down, he's already upstairs with the Dyson down there freaking out because it's going to scratch the paint apparently. And I'm just like, let's just sit in this. Let's just look at it.
Righto, Kourtney Kardashian.
No, but I was like, we're going to try and look at this dirt and see how it makes you feel because I know it can be clean. It's tiny.
Yeah, it feels like dirt. Get rid of it.
I came over about 8 hours later for dinner after this and Chloe kept going, how nice is the plant? And Fisher kept going, fucking plant. The fucking
no, but
car.
I said it's going to die if you give it bad energy. You need to give the plant.
No, then I had to carry that plant up the stairs and it buckled my back.
And then.
So like, this, she's like, mini? We need good energy around this plant. Good energy around the plant. I'm like, yeah, my back's fucked. Now I've got to go see a chiropractor. Or if that's how you say it. Chiropractor.
Syllables.
I was like, oh, nah, fuck this plant. Mate, that thing has gotten in the way this morning. I'm just like,
no, but the
I
best,
can't handle
the best
that
part
shit.
About it is he spent that long fucking vacuuming the boot,
oh,
which
mate.
Didn't need.
Oh,
by the
my
time
God.
He got up and there was a bit of soil on around the plant, the vacuum ran out of battery.
Oh, yeah. God forbid.
It did.
Oh, fuck.
And there was speckles of dirt on the floor and he's like hands and knees picking up
you
the
should
fucking
see
dirt
the shit
with
his that
hair.
Goes on in that house when you're overseas. Me and Chloe are wrangling some fucking plants. And
the wall.
What I don't know, I don't care. But
he found
I know
a mark
you, I know
on
you've
the
dinged that wall.
I haven't, Paul. I swear.
I was
to
eating
God.
My breakfast and I was like, ding. That on the wall
no.
over there. And she turned and like,
no.
Like you didn't want to know about it.
Elodie basically.
No, I feel like one of you girls has kicked a hole in my wall, got it patted up because it's like a new paint stain. And I'm like,
are you,
nah.
Do you know?
Yes.
What?
No. As in, I know the spot. And last night he was going on about this patch of me and you were going, what the fuck's he talking about? Just get some like sugar soap and go like this. Anyway, he walks off and goes, I know what happened. One night, Chloe and Elodie punched in the wall. And I'm thinking, where the fuck do you pull these ideas
exactly.
out of your ass? Like, yes, we're out to get your wall when you
no,
turn
but
your
the
head.
Way that his mind works, like I'm sitting at our kitchen table eating breakfast and he's out on our balcony like looking at this wall and he's like, oh my God, look at that wall, babe. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, I can't see it. You're tripping. When he, anyway, and he's like, come and look at this. I'll come and look at this.
Didn't
I'm like,
call
no.
you over for really
yeah,
nice cuddle.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to come and look at this. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm eating my breakfast, drinking my coffee. I don't want to come over and look at it. I'll look at it when I get up. And then maybe like 15 minutes later, it's like, babe, come and give me a hug. Come and give me a hug. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so nice. But I know how you work because you're just getting me to come over to give you a cuddle so then you can turn around and be like, but look at the wall. Like but as if we put your a fucking hole in the wall. Like, I actually don't know. It's just a mark. Someone's just like wiped it clean and stuff. It's
she's
nothing.
Not out to get your walls.
The mysteries, anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of mysteries untold.
I could literally talk about this OCD shit.
I know, but
you're
going to put
so
this episode
stories.
Out and there's going to be fucking chicks in there like, he's got a problem.
Well, maybe we can
say psychiatrist about that shit. He doesn't even have OCD.
Maybe we have some listener, like maybe we have a listener who actually specializes in hypnotherapy for OCD people.
Hit us up.
Because I've tried to do that one day and the chick's like, how do you feel? I'm like, same. Did you fucking even put me into that hypnotherapy shit?
We'll work
he
on that.
He needs to be hypnotized. Let's do that on the podcast. We need to hypnotize him.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Not me, obviously, but
no, don't do that on a podcast because if I do something stupid, it's going to actually.
I've got a cute little couples game for you
no,
two.
No, you don't because it's a threesome.
All right, well,
it's
I'm
a threesome
going first.
Game.
I'm asking you two.
It's a threesome couples. Game.
Okay.
But we're not having a threesome.
Obviously. I've got your answers written down. Paul, yeah. Who do you think Chloe's hall pass is?
Channing, I can't even say this guy. Channing Tatum and Ryan Gosling.
Fuck, yeah. You did so well.
Yeah, but I've always known that.
Yeah, but I'm so into
Channing. And
I'm
shit.
Just so into Channing, yeah. Like in when he's dancing.
Yeah, actually,
like,
can't believe that because he's my hall pass. He's
really,
my guy. Yes, we spoke about this in the car. You're acting surprised.
Why do you have to fucking ruin it for everyone? Fucking hell. All right,
that's funny.
Okay. Never tell Elodie anything.
Shut up!
That is the fucking bottom line
Claire,
of everything.
What have I ever?
It's not that you just with blase say it like out loud. Hey, did you know fish fucking?
Yeah.
Okay, Chloe, who would Fish's hall pass be?
I think a Victoria's Secret model. Originally, it was. I know his old hall pass was definitely Jen Hawkins, but I think that he's that's old news. But I think that he's new.
That's like so old.
But you always used to say that, and I'm like, that's a random
one. She was hot.
One,
she still is hot.
But then I think like a Victoria's Secret model.
Adriana Lima has always been my number one.
Yeah. That's. Did I write that?
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing.
She's probably my whole past too.
She looks exactly like Chloe, so you fucking
but like,
jackpot over here.
I feel like J-Lo is where I'm going at the moment.
You're getting old, brother.
I feel like that every time I see him, like she's just fucking aging like wine.
Oh, it's cozy.
Even Ben Affleck's back there, mate. He's just like, fuck, I blew it.
J-Lo uses olive oil all over her body. Did you know that?
Yeah, I use olive oil and I look fucking nothing like that.
I look like a cretin and I use olive oil.
Okay, Elodie, what annoys Paul most about you?
Is it the wearing the shoes inside?
Yeah, cleanliness, you are one of a kind.
Fuck off. I'm clean as.
Cleanliness.
It's OCD shit with him. Yeah. Anyway, I'm clean as a whistle. I literally shower 100 times a day. So.
Go
you
on, you're going to ask
me. Even
them.
With Noonie, every time he sees her, has she clean? Has she shat today? I'm like, yes, she
oh my
shat
God.
And I showered her.
All right. Okay. Elodie, what annoys you most about Paul?
Oh. Fuck, yeah, the OCD-ness, because if I, like, you know, if a dot of Rummy's hair gets on his floor, he fucking loses it and,
he
like,
did
abuses
write that.
Us both, me and the dog. So that annoys me because it upsets me because it's a dot
Mate,
of hair.
Mate, she brings that dog in off the beach with saliva coming off its back end, sand
That's a
everywhere,
lie. That's a
and it just
lie.
Goes, is it a lie, Chloe, back me up?
Yeah, no, Excuse I me. Just don't understand how it does get clean, but she doesn't bring it inside.
Thank you.
I know.
I don't bring it inside.
I've got your back, don't worry.
It's been inside.
It goes.
It was inside the other night.
After it's been to the beach.
It went
it
to
doesn't.
The beach and I said, we're going to go down the sideways straight into my car.
Yeah.
Okay.
You fucker. You know this.
I love the this next one.
Okay, what
are
is
gonna
it?
Ask, are you going to ask?
Favorite memories?
Yeah.
What's your favorite memory with Fish? And Fish, what's your favourite memory with Chloe? You think about it. See if it's the same.
Okay. My favourite memories, I think, would either be like our engagement on that boat.
That's a nice one.
Oh, bless.
When you proposed to me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because that was pretty special. Oh. You surprised me, and I'm very hard to surprise.
Yeah.
Or like walking down the aisle.
Yeah, I said our wedding.
Yeah, same.
This is fucking magic, that thing. Mm.
So good. Okay, Elodie and Paul, what are your favourite memories of each other? He's got a good one.
I actually forgot what I wrote.
Oh, no, actually, she's got a funny one.
Oh, there you go.
Hold on,
What do you think?
Oh,
what
my did you one's write? So weird. I don't even know.
Yeah,
why.
Yours is shit. Elodie said that your favourite memory of her would be when she spewed on you back in 2011.
No, yeah. I've got a better memory. That was really funny the first night we met. But I think my favourite memories with you are like when you come off the stage in Ibiza, like you've just done the biggest fucking show ever.
He did write that.
No,
what do you mean, Ibiza?
Yeah. So maybe it was good.
So everyone's like, after party, and Fisher's like, nah, I just want to come and see Noonie. Comes home, I'm like, oh, I actually want to party, but okay. So Fisher comes home and literally just lies down on the floor next to Minnie's cot and just sleeps on the floor next to her. I'm like, do you want to get in the cot or?
I miss all this.
It's so fucking cute.
You miss all this.
I miss all this because I could
You run bed. Straight to your room and don't see anyone.
Yeah, Chloe just goes straight to sleep. She doesn't miss
I miss it
an
all.
Opportunity to have a wink.
Yeah.
And Fisher just goes in and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sleep in the bed here and Fisher's snoring on the floor.
All right.
Moments. Bless. So last I got questions. That right.
Yeah, you both actually nailed that one. So the last question's for you. Who wears the pants in all of our relationships?
Chloe wears the pants in everyone's fucking relationship. Like in now, my relationship with you, you wear the pants.
Did you write me?
I said we're even and I said I run it out of me and her, but then I'm like, nah, actually she runs it. So I was a bit confused on our one, like every now and again.
You reckon I run the show when it comes to you and me?
Fuck, it's a sinking ship, that one.
Yeah.
Hasn't sunk yet, has it?
Yeah, right? We're fucking still floating. Look at us go. We don't, we're
no,
dumb
actually,
asses.
To be honest though, do you want to know something? The other day the boys were like, because of, again, the OCD shit, but anyway, the boys were asking me who I could live with besides Chloe, and I was like 100% I could live with Elodie. Hands down.
She's actually
because like even though like mate, me and her had so much fucking fun this season in Europe, it was hilarious. We'd come home, cook pizzas, talk shit.
Fucking
I'd make
talk
her clean
shit.
That shit up though before she went to bed.
I am a cook and a cleaner.
No,
I
have to
cook.
Give this to Elodie. Like, yes,
we definitely
can all like click at each other. We're all clickers. But she is an amazing person to live with because she cleans up after herself. She's a fucking
easy
great
to hang with.
She's always can just chuck shit together. Like I'm like, fuck, I'm hungry. She's like, oh, well, what can we do? I'll just like chuck a few things in the kitchen. Like she is the best housemate ever.
By far. I was actually thinking about it. I was like, I could easily.
Mate,
you lived with this for like 2 months.
I'm so fucking surprised because all I ever get is rinse.
No, 100%.
Doing it because this is public.
No, I'm being honest.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I would hands down 100% be able to live
move
with
in
you.
Then.
Would you like
Rummy's
to move
coming.
In?
Yeah, Rummy's an outdoor dog now, though.
Listener.